Welcome back to Blotter Briefs, Teehee Briefs, quick takes on true crime that might save you some deliberation. Another day, another take on the Black Dahlia case, and another lukewarm, unconvincing waste of time. But your mileage may vary, so counselors, step into my chambers for... I Am the Night. The Crime. When Betty Bersinger spotted Elizabeth Short's body in a Los Angeles vacant lot in January of 1947, she thought it was a broken mannequin. It was not. It was the viciously tortured, bisected, and disfigured body of Short, a young woman living on the margins who far exceeded in death the fame she'd aspired to in life. It took almost no time for Short to become the Black Dahlia, the Jack the Ripper case of the United States. A compelling unsolved murder that attracts crackpots and C-minus pros like filings to a magnet. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The story. TNT's six-part take on the Black Dahlia case, in which a suspect's granddaughter and the Ahab to the suspect's white whale converge on each other's quests in mid-60s Los Angeles, begins its run tonight. That's Monday, January 28th at 9 ET on TNT. I got screeners for all six, but pulled the ripcord a little more than halfway through the pilot for a few reasons. And the first is that this isn't one of, quote, my cases. Most people who consume a lot of true crime have a handful of cases they come back to again and again. Preoccupations, you might say. The Ripper, Black Dahlia, the West Memphis Three, the Lindbergh case, what have you. Black Dahlia is not one of mine. I found John Douglas's assessment of the case and likely suspects in The Cases That Haunt Us persuasive, but I acknowledge there is something maddening about this murder's enduring refusal to be solved. So I have done some other reading on the case, and it is almost uniformly, damply, frustratingly bad. I must include in this Steve Hodel's Black Dahlia Avenger. It's been a while, but I recall the experience as a slog on the prose level, and as strangely thin and over-reliant on correlations that weren't proof. Given that the author, A, was a detective with LAPD, and B, was the prime suspect's kid. Perhaps this recollection is unfair, but spoiler, I won't be returning to the book to confirm it, or to any of the gazillion follow-up tomes Hodel has published in the interim, which also posit that dear old dad may have been the lipstick killer, too. Oh, and the Zodiac killer. Told you it wasn't my dad. Sorry, I guess I shouldn't make light, but fuck's sake, Steve, pick a lane. Anyway, said prime suspect is George Hill Hodel, and while Steve failed to convince me, Wikipedia seems to have it that Hodel is, if not the conventional wisdom choice here in 2019 as the killer of the Black Dahlia, he's on a very short list of possibles, if not at the top. I confess that I find that surprising based on my low opinion of the case as presented by Hodel the Younger, but it did make me marginally more hopeful about I Am the Night. Alas, it is not for me. It may be for you, but I can't tell whether you'll be more irritated if the Black Dahlia is one of, quote, your cases. I was irritated almost immediately by anachronistic dialogue, by India Isley's terrible, not to mention pointless, southern accent as Fauna Hodel, and by how long it takes the Dahlia even to enter the story, which, strictly speaking, she hadn't even done by the time I quit on the thing. Fauna Hodel's story is really interesting. She was a white girl raised by an African-American mother in Nevada, and she believed she was mixed race until finding her birth certificate in the mid-60s, at least according to the miniseries, and I believe this is true to events. But that is already a groaning sideboard of narrative and emotion all by itself. And it is one that Isley is not currently configured to support. Staggering down a parallel street is Chris Pine's Jay Singletary, a once great reporter reduced to Hollywood confidential gotcha shots, thanks to a raging case of post-Korea PTSD and the fact that shooting at King Hodel and missing back in the 40s kiboshed his journalism career. Or, so I read in other reviews whose authors conscientiously watched the entire thing. I managed to stick in for a half hour, but I was looking for the exits after this observation by Leland Orser's newspaper editor, holding soggy office hours at a local bar.
Jesus. What's wrong with him?
What's wrong with Jay Singletary shit? Where do I even start? He was a Marine at the Chosen in Korea, for one, but his problems are bigger than that, even. You know, when he was 18, he was a full-time reporter for the LA Times. He was a damn good writer. But he messed up. You know? Some stories you can't tell.
What's that mean?
Well, it means, and you'll learn this, some stories don't want to be told. Some stories will eat you alive.
Orser is actually quite good here. Economical, able to register above a din of two-dimensional characterization and exposition. And I found myself thinking that a telling of the story from this bar, from the perspective of this editor, his frazzled freelancer, and the kid you hear at the top of the clip, writing down everything the editor says for some reason, that could be fascinating. Unpacking libel laws, the compromises journalists make to keep sources, parallax viewy power structures crushing the humans who supposedly run them. There's a lot there. Even if it's only a teleplay of sorts about the stories that eat you alive, it still works as a feature or a two-night event. On the other hand, maybe the editor, Sullivan, is right. Maybe some stories don't want to be told, and for that reason, the telling tends to go badly. It's an interesting idea to advance in the telling of this story that may be case in point, but that's another thing the production could have kind of run with, just gotten incredibly meta and Rashomon'd it. I don't know. TNT is throwing a lot of weight and heavy hitter review podcast crossover promotion behind I Am the Night. Chris Pine is good, likable and watchable as always. I understand why this was attempted, and I understand that the failure can't really be laid at anyone's feet, even the writers. I think the story itself is just a third rail at this point, and if you try to grasp it or solve it, it's not your lead suspect who's going to fry. I wish this had worked for me, it just didn't. But my work wife, Tara Ariano, is covering it for Decider, so check out her recaps at decider.com, and if you have a take on the Black Dahlia that you think I could tolerate, Pamela Koloff styly, yes, Elroy-ish, Pasadena. You know what to do. What should I do next? Send those requests, suggestions, and ancient aliens theories to me at Blotter Presents on social media and bunting@the-blotter.com on email. Patreon tipsters get extras like custom recommendation lists and more briefs. Briefs. So you can join the tipster crew at patreon.com/blotterpresents. Thanks for listening to today's Blotter Brief. I'm your host, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am always prepared to rule.